We continue our studies in Mark chapter 10. Jesus has just finished teaching about the rich young ruler, having told him if he would have eternal life to sell everything that he owned. That young man refused to sell all that he had and to give it to the poor. Then Jesus went on to teach about how hard it was for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I should say, those that trust in their riches. Those who trust in their riches. How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Christ had said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So the disciples, they're hearing this and they're saying, well, then who then can be saved? You're telling the rich man to give away everything that he has. You're saying how hard it is for those that trust in riches to enter the kingdom. And the disciples, they're hearing this, they're astonished, who then can be saved? And Christ says to them, well, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So, we'll look at verses 28 through 31 of Mark 10. Then Peter began to say to him, Mark 10, beginning at verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. When Peter hears this, he speaks up. He reminds Jesus that the disciples, they'd walked away from everything to follow him. These men had turned loose of all of their earthly responsibilities to follow Jesus. They had given up money, homes, families, businesses, all because Jesus had asked them to. In Matthew's account of these events, he tells us that Peter says, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In other words, Peter is saying, Lord, you are saying that if a man gives up his money and follows you, he can have everlasting life. We've given up everything to follow you. What is our reward? He's asking, basically, what's in this for us? What's in this for us? A lot of people have the same attitude about serving the Lord today. They see the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, and they wonder what good it does for a person to follow Jesus. Do you find yourself that way today? Jesus is about to tell us that those that follow him have a definite advantage, both here and in the hereafter. You might feel that you've been getting the short end of the stick. I would say, my friend, the Lord has a word of encouragement for everyone who has ever chosen Jesus Christ over the wealth, the trinkets, and the things of this world. Look at verses 29 and 30 of Mark 10, where Christ says, assuredly, I said to you, there's no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands for my sake in the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus responds by letting Peter know that God sees, God records, and God rewards every sacrifice that is made for him. He tells them that what they have walked away from might seem like a lot to them. But God has far more in their future than they left behind in their past. They left one house. God knows how to open 100 doors. They left one family. God has made them a part of a family that encompasses the whole world. Your brothers and sisters now, if you are in Christ, are over the whole world. From every race, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. They have become separated from earthly brothers and sisters, but God has given us more brothers and sisters in Christ than we can possibly imagine. Those who willingly turn loose of this world to follow Jesus Christ will discover that God has far more in store for them than the sum total of all that they left behind. When Jesus speaks of a hundredfold, he simply means that it's more than you can imagine. Don't be like a health or wealth person. He's not saying that if you give a dollar, he'll give you $100 in return. He might. But he might give you $1,000. But he might give you a hundredfold persecution. He's simply telling us that he has far more for us than anything we could ever give up to follow him. That's not a mathematical equation. You give one, he gives 100. You give two, he gives 200. You give 100, he gives 100,000. That's not what it is. To put it simply, you're never going to outgive God. Don't think you're possibly going to give more to God than he is to you, that somehow he's going to be indebted to you. You're not going to outgive God. Remember, God doesn't always pay off on Fridays. His God is not necessarily on the... you get paid on Friday every week or every other week. God doesn't always pay off on Fridays. But he always pays off. And he always pays off well. If you serve Jesus Christ, he will see to it that you are blessed beyond your wildest dreams. You're not going to outgive him. He also, in the text, lets us know that his hundredfold will come to us with persecutions. I notice a lot of people that focus in on the health and wealth and say nothing but blessings over and over and over again. They leave that part out. If you look at verse 30 of Mark 10, yeah, you'll receive a hundredfold now in this time. Brothers, sisters, lands, mothers, children, with persecutions. It's funny how they leave that part of the verse off. Christ has promised you that also. In Philippians, it says it's been granted unto you, it's been graced unto you, not only to believe, but to suffer for his name's sake. Yeah, you're going to get a hundredfold. You may get a hundredfold. You may live in lands that you persecute. You may live in lands where they lock you up and throw away the key. They may live in lands where you put in prison and torture for 30 or 40 years. Persecutions. Us here in the West, we're so focused on the hundredfold, on the money, on the stuff. It just shows you what kind of idolatry it is in our lives. The very fact that teachers in the West, preachers in the West, don't teach that about the persecutions. Oh, hundredfold, houses, lands, family, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Persecutions, hundredfold, we kind of leave that out. We kind of won't talk about that. There's a price to pay for following Christ. Not everyone will be excited to see you saving the Lord. Don't forget, the Lord said he came to put mother against child, father against son and daughter, children against their parents, relatives one against another, neighbors against. He didn't come to bring peace. Peace with God he came to bring, but not peace among men. There's a price to pay. There's difficulties in trial will come to you because of your commitment to Jesus Christ. What does 2 Timothy 3:12 tell us? Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Maybe you're not suffering persecution because you don't desire to live godly. There's no difference between you and those in the world, and those that are around you. You just like them. That's maybe why you don't suffer any persecution. God will bless you in spite of any trial that you might face along the way. Just always remember, God, you are not going to outgive God. And Jesus Christ, he ices the cake. He tells us that those who turn loose of this world to follow him will be blessed in this life. But in the end, they also receive eternal life. As you see in Mark 10, verse 30. They get 100-fold in this time, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So there is an age to come, and there is eternal life. So you get the both. If you lose the things of this world, you gain everything. If you pursue the things of this world, you gain nothing. You lose everything. You lose everything. Christ tells us not to worry about what this world has to offer. It simply cannot compare to what the Lord has for those who trust him. Money can buy a lot of things, but there are some things that it cannot buy. Money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. How many may be listening today? You can't sleep. You can't sleep. Did you ever ask the Lord? Let you be able to sleep. Sleep is of the Lord. Sleep is a blessing from the Lord. I'm not saying roll around in your bed for 12 to 18 hours a day like a deadbeat. I'm saying you get a good night's sleep. That's a gift from the Lord. Money can buy books, but it can't buy brains. It can't buy illumination. It can't buy the Holy Spirit teaching you from those books. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Not an appetite. Money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. A home. You may live in a big, beautiful house, but you don't have a home. But it's not a home. It's not full of love. It's not full of God. It's not full of the Holy Spirit. It's not full of Christ. Money can buy medicine, but not necessarily buy you your help. Money can buy amusement, but it cannot buy you happiness. Happiness and joy comes from God, not from amusement. You may amuse yourself for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days or something. But I'm talking about happiness and the joy that you have every day. Even a joy in the darkest days of your life, when there's death and persecution and hardship and trials and temptations all around you, that you can still have joy. Do you know that? Do you know of that joy? Do you know that Jesus Christ grants that to his disciples? You don't have to run to and fro for amusement to find happiness. All you need to do is fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you'll be full of joy every day of your life, because your joy won't be based on your circumstances. Money can buy a lot of fine things, but it cannot buy beauty. If you're a man out there, do you know anything of what it's like to be married to a woman of Proverbs 31? Or have you bought into the lie that the world says about beauty? That beauty is a certain face from a certain race with a certain body type, that this is beauty. It's not what the Bible teaches. You know what? Want to know what a beautiful woman is? Read Proverbs 31. speaks of what a beautiful woman is like. Money can buy you all kinds of things, but it can't buy you a Savior. Question for you today, right to your heart. You're listening? Do you have what matters most in this life? Straight up. Do you have what matters most? What matters most is Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ, if you are a believer, are you pursuing Him? Is He the treasure? Is He the goal of your life? Or is He just an add-on to your life as you pursue all these things of this world? Because I can tell you, if you're a believer and you have Christ, and you're pursuing the things of this world, you're not going to have joy. You may have some momentary happiness, but you are not going to have the joy of fellowshipping with Christ on a continual basis. It doesn't work that way. You can't just give Christ a little lip service, a little heart service, a couple minutes a day. It doesn't work that way. It's just like in a relationship with your spouse. What kind of relationship are you going to have with your spouse if there's no time invested? You have to invest time with Christ. He has to be everything in your life. It's all about Christ if you're a believer. For me to live is Christ. Is that true of you? Or are you pursuing the things of this world? I mean, where is your heart? You know where it is. The Holy Spirit's pointing it out to you right now. Right now, you're pursuing this, and this, and all these things are ahead of Jesus Christ. This is a call to forsake all. Christ wasn't just teaching about, oh yeah, it's so hard for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. That's not what he's showing. It's everything. He's everything. You can't put money ahead of him, the things of this world, anything. The rich young ruler in the previous story was, the Lord knew where his heart was. He loved money. He loved this world, and he wouldn't give it up. Christ is telling him you needed to give that away. And by his giving it away, he would have showed Christ he truly repented and trusted in him. Not that he could buy his way into heaven by selling and giving his money away. But that would have been true repentance because that was his God. And the question is today, what is your God? Who is your God? Is Jesus Christ your God or is the things of this world your God? And either way, if you're an unbeliever, you need to repent and be saved. And if you're a believer, you need to repent and you need to fellowship with the Lord. I mean, if you're a believer today, would the Lord say to you, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open up the door and I'll come in and sup with him. That verse is not for unbelievers, that's for believers that are out of fellowship with the Lord. They're so caught up in the things of this world that they're not fellowshipping with him. They're not breaking bread with him. That's what that text in Revelation is talking about, that I'll come in and sup with him. Sup, fellowship with him, eat with him. Drink with them. Be with them. This is a call today for believers to throw away this pursuing of the world and pursue Christ. Pursue Christ with as much stamina and vigor as you pursue the things of this world. How much more so for Christ that laid down his life for you? Did you pursue him? You pursuing the things of this world that tomorrow will be gone. Should we not pursue the glory of Christ? Should we not pursue Christ? Is being a Christian not all about Christ? And if you're an unbeliever listening today, come to Christ. It's all about Christ. You've seen the bumper sticker before, he who has the most toys wins. It's like, you don't win, you lose. You go to hell. You can pursue this whole world. The scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Are you going to forfeit your soul for the things of this world? These verses before us in Mark are serious, somber verses for us to seriously consider the state of our soul. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what does it profit a believer to pursue the things of this world? As I mentioned in the last study, you just set your mind on things above, where Christ is. That is where you just set your minds. Set your minds on Christ. Consider our apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ. Consider Christ. Meditate on Christ. Dwell with Christ. Fill your mind with Christ, and your heart will explode with Christ. Rivers of living water will flow out of your mouth, will pour forth out of you. Stop chasing the things of this world. They're only going to satisfy you for a season. Don't keep deceiving yourself. Only Christ will satisfy that hunger that you have.